John Kenneth Galbraith, world-renowned Harvard economist and author of 40 books and more than 1,000 articles on economics. He was an economic advisor to 4 U.S. presidents and an ambassador to India. And he, in his autobiography, tells of the devotion of Emily Gloria Wilson, who was the family housekeeper. And he said, one day, after a very long series of meetings, he was quite tired, so he decided to take a nap. And he said to his housekeeper, "Please do not disturb me." And so just a few minutes after that, a call came from President Lyndon Johnson in the White House. And he said, "This is Lyndon Johnson. Get me Kenneth Galbraith." And she said, "The ambassador is sleeping. He told me not to disturb him." He said, "Wake him up anyway. Get me Galbraith." And she said, "Mr. President, I work for him, not for you." And so Galbraith says, when he finally called the president back, he said, President Johnson could hardly contain his pleasure when he said, "I would love to have that woman work for me in the White House." She follows orders. It's obedient. And today, in the second reading, it concludes with the words, "Be of the same attitude of Christ." And in the longer version of that reading, it says, "Though he was in the form of God, Jesus did not deem equality with God something to be grasped at. Rather, he emptied himself and became a slave. He was known to be of human estate, and it was thus that he humbled himself, even to death on a cross. And because of this, God highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bend in the heavens, on the earth, and under the earth, and every tongue proclaim to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord." That beautiful hymn was in the letter to the Philippians, which was written in the middle 50s of the first century, but it's probably taken from the liturgy and a hymn that was sung in the early liturgies as early as the 40s, as far as we can tell. So very early on, this consciousness that is central to Christianity was present, that this great God who created the sun and the stars and the moon and all of the galaxies in the heavens, that this great God humbled himself and came among us as a slave. St. Paul was writing to the Philippians, which is the first town in Europe that he visited to evangelize it. And it was a community that he knew very well and that he loved. And when he is speaking to them, he is speaking to them about something that is so important that it will eventually transform the history of Europe and of the world. And it's this first entry that we're hearing St. Paul tells us about, the central consciousness, the central attitude of Christians, that we must put on the attitude of Christ. Weekly column, Father Rollheiser, Ron Rollheiser, who did a mission here and who's a man of great wisdom himself, he said that a friend of his was in his middle 40s, and he said he confessed that he had been through a number of heartbreaking relationships, most of which had fallen apart because of his own faults and failings, but he finally, he said, this friend finally found a woman that he respected and that he loved and that he wanted to begin to build a life together for the rest of their lives in marriage. And he said this friend wrote a wise reflection to give to this woman that he wanted to propose marriage to. And this is a quote. Father Rollheiser talking about his friend who wants to get married to this woman. He says, "I'd like to ask you to marry me, but I need to put my cards on the table. I don't pretend to know what love means. There was a time in my life when I thought I did, but I've seen my own feelings and the feelings of others shift too often in ways that have made me lose confidence in my understanding of love." Says, it's wonderful. He says, "I've seen my own feelings and the feelings of others shift too often in ways that have made me lose confidence in my understanding of love. And so I'll be honest, I can't promise that I will always be in love with you, but I can promise that I'll always be faithful, that I'll always treat you with respect, that I'll always do everything in my power to be there for you, to help further your own dreams, that I'll always be an honest partner in trying to build a life together. I can't guarantee how I will always feel, but I can promise that I won't betray you in infidelity." It's a wonderful statement. I wish every young couple could take that in on their wedding day, rather than the Hollywood romantic view of marriage, that it's always going to be peaches and cream, and know you can't say that you always know how you're going to feel, but you can say, "I will always be faithful to you." And I think that's what Paul is saying about our faith too, that we can't always say that we're going to feel delighted to be fighting the traffic to get here, especially this morning, to come to Mass, and yet we can say, "I will always be faithful to you." That wonderful gospel, short, but the two sons, the first one who is told by the father to go and work in the vineyard, he says, "No, I will not." I know a lot of people like that. Their first response is, "No, I don't want to have anything to do with that." But then they have second thoughts. And in this gospel, God is in our second thoughts, when we really know and have thought about and have decided, "Yes, this is what I want to invest myself in fully. Yes, I will go." And the second son who says, "Yeah, I'll go." We all know, and I have been like that. I've been enthusiastic about this and all of that. It's like you can stay with your team, the USC Trojans or Notre Dame Fighting Irish, but let them lose one game and some people are gone. Though he was in the form of God, Jesus did not deem equality with God something to be grasped at. This God loved us so much. This God who is the God not of dominating, but of inviting. This God who is the master of letting go, of pouring himself out, the kenosis of this God in our Lord Jesus Christ coming among us, is the model. That's why Paul says, be of the same attitude of Christ. Say yes to this God, who is the name, at his name every knee in heaven, on earth, and under the earth must bow, and every tongue proclaim to the glory of God the Father. Jesus Christ is Lord.